You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. All right. So, one thing I forgot to mention was there is an interest meeting, okay, for the teen lock-in. And now the teen lock-in is the largest event of the year, right, Samantha? The largest teen event. Notice how I said teen event. Largest teen event coming up. It's in August 22nd, 23rd. So they stay up all night. They do fun stuff. I'm in bed at like 9. So, that counts me out. So they need help with that. And I'll tell you, our teens, we're blessed. We have some, just great teen leaders pouring into our teens. I'm even excited about our next year. I'll throw it out there because we want to figure out how to raise money for it. But I probably, no? Can I throw it out there? Yeah, my wife's saying no. Samantha's like, I don't know. We weren't planning. Okay, all right, never mind. Chop. I'm more excited. All right, so I'll wait. Just let me know when. Give me the cue. All right. Never mind. We need some help for that. So if you think you can stay up all night or half the night or some of the night, they need some help. They do make it a fun time. I think last year we had like 50, 60 teens or something like that. So if you can, plan to hang out after the service right up front here, Samantha, right up here. And she and Mike and Zach and Mackenzie will, I guess, fill you guys in on all the details and everything like that. And so, you guys excited? You guys excited? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It was funny because Pastor, when he got up for revival, you know, that whistle made me, Jake, I don't know if you guys know Jake, he whistled like, whoo-hoo, you know, at Pastor Tool when he's coming up, you know, it was comical on Sunday morning, just joking, or Sunday night, one of the two. It was just, we had a great time of revival. I think we had the most that we ever had come out Monday and Tuesday, I think between 1:30 and 1, somewhere right around 1:30, 1:25 neighborhood. It was just great to fill the house with people that are hungry and thirsty for the Lord. You know, they could have been doing tons of other things on a Monday or Sunday. You're like, man, you came to church five times? I came to church five times, you know what I'm saying? Five times. I'm still excited. And basically, what I want to talk to you about today, and we are going to get back to Ecclesiastes next week, but I want to talk to you about what now? You know, what now? You know, we've had revival. We spent the last month preparing, looking to, fasting towards, seeking the Lord. And what now? You know, do we just go back to normal life and it was just a season of time, and that's all that revival is just a season of time that we set aside to come to church to hear some messages out of the ordinary. And so today I want to talk to you about this idea from Exodus chapter 32 through 34. We're going to cover two whole chapters today. But we're not going to go verse by verse, and we're going to talk through that. And I want to talk to you about the idea from the mountains of revival to the valleys of reality. From the mountains, tops of revival, to the valleys of reality. Moses has spent 40 days in the presence of the Lord God on top of Mount Sinai. He spent 40 days, 40 nights there. And God has sustained him and preserved him. God has spoke with him. He heard God's voice. He knew God's will. He was receiving God's word. Things couldn't be better. It was just him and the Lord that in the presence there. Exodus chapter 25 kind of takes us to that mountaintop when it says, in Exodus 25, verse 12, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses," right? "Come up to me in the mount," right? God is drawing him. God is trying to draw him near to himself. And he says, "And be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and law and the commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua and went up into the mount of God. And Moses went up into the mount, and the cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the clouds covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord, there it is, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the midst. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, just him and the Lord. That sweet time of refreshment, that sweet time of rest, that sweet time of fellowship, that sweet time of understanding and entering into that relationship, that fellowship with the Lord. But Moses had to come down off that mountain eventually because God had work for him to do. God had work for him to do. And when he came down off that mountain, he was confronted with the harsh reality of sin in humanity. As he carried out God's will for his life, he had to walk through some very difficult circumstances. But his relationship with God grew stronger, not weaker. You know, what was captivating to me is as I was studying this, when Moses came down off that mountain, we're going to see that indeed Moses' relationship with God got stronger, got greater, to where Moses was closer and even reflecting the Lord's glory like he had never had before. He had to walk through some very difficult circumstances, but his relationship with God grew stronger, not weaker. And today, that's the topic of the message, growing closer to the Lord, even when you're not on the mountain of revival, but in you're in the valley of reality where you're putting your hand to the plow and it's hard work. And sometimes what you see is frustrating and difficult. Hey, this is where we go from here. Number one. Let's pray, and then I'll give you number one. Lord, I love you, and I do thank you, Lord, just for your word. Lord, it helps us to see, Lord God, that you teach us. You've given us your word, every word, from front to back, Lord. We need every word. Lord, and today as we look at the life of Moses and just how he stayed passionately close to you, how his fervor and fire for you was evident in his life, not because of him, but because he stayed close to you and how he was able to do that through different circumstances. Lord, as he came down from that mountain into the valley of reality. Lord, I pray that you teach us today. Pray that your Holy Spirit would meet with us today, that your word, not my word, your word would resonate with us, challenge us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do we stay close to the Lord? How do we continue to keep that fervor coming down off the mountain after spending 40 days in the perfect presence of the Lord? Number one, stay strong when others walk away from God. Stay strong when others walk away from God. I don't know if you've read the book of Exodus, but if you haven't, you should take some time to read Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32 is just a great picture of us sometimes, right? You know, Moses had just spent 40 days in the presence of the perfect, holy God. He has experienced the goodness of God. He is ready to tell everyone about his experience. He is with the Lord and to convey God's word to everyone. Hey, this is what God has showed me. This is what God has told me. Except when he came off the mountain, many of those so-called followers had hashtag Christians, right? We're no longer following God, but turned away from him. If you know the story, Moses is on the mountaintop. He's only been up there 40 days, and he comes down off the mountain, and all these people that were so-called Christians have literally turned from the Lord, made themselves idols, and have now begun to literally turn away from the Lord. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us." Well, we were following the one God who got us out of Egypt. What happened to him? Why are we following him, right? This was their thought, and part of the reason for that being was because they were following a man they were not following God. When the man was removed, Moses, so was their relationship. This is why I always try to tell you, don't hook your wagon to the pastor, to the preacher, to this person, to that person, because if God removes them or they fall away, your relationship is with the wrong person if your relationship sways. Does that make sense? He goes on and says, make us gods. This is what they say. Go before us. And for as this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, Moses didn't bring you out of the land of Egypt. God did. God did it. Right? And here it says, we want not what has become of him. We don't know what's become of him. Now, mind you, this whole time they're seeing the cloud burning with fire on top of the mountain and how distant and how quick they turn away from the Lord. It says, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto him, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives. Now, I ain't giving you my earrings. Would any of your wives say that? No. Of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them up to me. And the people break off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. And after he had made it a golden calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This is what Moses came down off the mountaintop of spending time with God. Anybody over this revival just was so excited. Excited and fired up. You just want to go tell people about the Lord. Come on now. I mean, it's three of us. Thank you. You know, you get excited. And you're like, let me tell you. But then you see the harsh reality. It's like of what, you know, people are seeking after and driving to and going to. And here, this is what Moses, after spending 40 days, and it, man, it's hard. The first thing Moses had to face coming off that mountain of revival was people turning from God to the world. Was people turning from God to the world. There were even so-called followers of God. Hey, there's always going to be people that are going to turn away from the Lord. For Moses, it was frustrating and discouraging because he had tasted of the good hand of God. He had seen the glory of the Lord, and he was ready to tell everyone about it. He wanted everyone to be as excited about it as he was. He wanted everybody to experience that relationship with the Lord that he had experienced, only to see people turning their back on the Lord, worshiping other things than the Lord. You know, as a pastor, it's one of the hardest things to watch someone say they are a Christian and yet walk away from God and all his goodness. It can be so discouraging, frustrating, and even enticing at times. Look at that person. They're just looking like they're having a grand old time over there. As a Christian, when we look at people, sometimes it's, you know, we get the harsh reality of coming off the mountain is we're going to be confronted with the reality of sin in people. Moses could have got frustrated, threw in the towel, said, God, I quit, and turned around and walked away. You ever felt like you want to do that because you see in people the harsh reality that we're still robed in flesh? We still struggle to show Jesus to people, and here they're showing him, and I can only imagine his frustration. But I will say this, we can't let others' decision to walk away from God or not to act like God cause us to stop seeking God. You have to challenge, well, look at what he did to me or what she did to me. Hey, your relationship with God should not be contingent upon what others do or don't do to you. It should be contingent of how good God is to you. Because if you're only going to stay close to the Lord, if people around you are nice to you or good to you or friendly to you, you won't be standing and serving the Lord for long. We can't let others' decision to walk away from God or not to act like God cause us to stop seeking after God or to give up or to give in, because people will forsake the Lord. And most of the time, anybody who says they were a Christian who loved the Lord and now is an atheist or those kind of things, they were never saved in the first place. I'll tell you why. Because once you are a child of God, a true child of God, His blood, I like that song, His blood flows through our veins. My son can say all day long that he's not my son, but you do a DNA test, bam, guess what that's going to show? He's my son. Now, our relationship with God, we might run and hide because of the shame of our sin, but nothing changes our status with God. It is not losing our sonship. And I know sometimes we struggle with the reality of our salvation, that once we are saved, we are always saved. Let me put it a different way. Once you are born into the family of God, nothing changes the fact that you are a son of God. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us. Well, I thought you were followers of God. I thought you believed the God of Israel who delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and now you're worshiping idols. Now you're serving these false gods. I could almost hear this verse running through the background of Moses' mind. They went out from us, even though it wasn't there written at this time, but they were not of us. They were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. Manifest meaning it's clearly seen that everybody that says they're a Christian, just because you say it on your lips doesn't mean that you are in your heart. See, Jesus makes us a son of God. We cannot do that ourselves. He adopts us into the family of God. He gives us life. Not we ourselves, not some pastor, not some man who, laying hands on you. None of that stuff. God himself does that. And so, how do we stay strong in the mountaintop of revival when we're coming off the mountain? How do we keep a fervor and a close fire in our heart for the Lord? Hey, number one, stay strong when others walk away from God, because it will happen. It will happen. Number two, continue to be dependent on God, not independent from God. Continue to be dependent on God, not independent from God. We as a church came together, we fasted, we sought the Lord earnestly in prayer, putting off the flesh. Let me ask you a question. Do we need to do that any less now? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Continue to be dependent on God, not independent from God. Moses was able to maintain a close relationship with God because he was continually dependent on God. He never got to the place where he said, you know, I think I got it today, God. That's our pride that speaks that to us. He did not fall for the lie of the flesh that often makes us believe we can be self-dependent or independent from God. Exodus chapter 33 verse 12 says, and Moses said unto the Lord, we see the picture of his dependency on God as he came down off the mountain and he saw this, and now he goes back into the presence of the Lord. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know who thou wilt send with me. His dependency is clearly seen and understood for us, that he realized that within himself he cannot do it without the Lord. And I love in the beginning of chapter 33, he says, I will send my messenger before you. I will send my angel before you. Talking about the Lord, right? Man, if that doesn't encourage you, is that here Moses realized and he said, I can't. We have too many Christians that say, I can without God. When we need to say, I can with God, there's nothing, right? Nothing is impossible with God. But John chapter 14, Jesus would say to us, you can do nothing on the other hand without me. You might be able to move some things around and look busy and even do ministry, but in essence of accomplishing anything for the kingdom of heaven, you can do nothing unless if your dependency is on God. Do you understand that? Moses did. Moses understood this when he said, here, and I love this, he's in the presence of the Lord, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. He's like, okay, God, I know what you want me to do, but I can't do it without you. Hey, how are you going to accomplish this? God, I'm trusting you. God, my dependency's on you. I'm not trying to figure it out on my own. I'm not trying to go look for a man in the camp that can accomplish this or come alongside. But God, I'm coming to you. It's kind of like us in this building, right? God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but it's got to be you. Moses had a big task to carry out, but he fully understood he could not accomplish it, God's will, without God's help. Let's make it practical. Husband, wife, mom, and dad, are you fully dependent on God to give you the love and the strength you need to carry out the very important role in your home? Or husband, do you think you can love your wife with the unconditional fruit of the Spirit? Do you think that you can deal with the abrasiveness of each other in marriage without the Holy Spirit between you? Are you confident in your own ability to maintain a marriage? Or do you fall down on your face before God and confess, as Moses did, God, I can't? Because there's too many, the reasons marriage failed, that's why. Because too many people in marriage say, I can, not I can't. I don't know how to love my wife the way God wants me to love her. I must seek the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is not in my flesh. It's in the Spirit. And we have to walk in the Spirit. Hey, mom. Hey, dad. How are you doing in raising your kids and allowing them to see the Holy Spirit of God? Do you think you have it all together? I'm doing a pretty good job. If those words have ever come out of your mouth, be convicted. You should be. Because anything good that you see in any of my family, it's not because of me. It's because of the Holy Spirit and the work that He has done. Let's be clear in this church who does the good work. And here, Moses understood that. Let us be completely dependent upon God, not independent from God. Stay strong when others walk away from God. Be dependent upon God, not independent from God. And then number three, believe God's word, not the voices in your head. Does anybody else have voices in your head that talk to you? You're like, Pastor, I'm going to put you in a loony bin. There will come a time maybe, but am I the only one that has voices in your head? Raise your hand if you have voices in your head. Okay, all right, I'm in good company. And the voices in our heads, a lot of time, is the voice of our flesh. It's the voice of our flesh. It's the voice of our guilt. It's the voice of our shame. It is not the voice of the Lord. To keep the fire of your relationship burning bright with the Lord, we must not give way to the voices in our head, but the voices in His word, or the voice of His word. Moses understood this. You remember Moses from the very beginning, you know, in the burning bush, and he said, I can't do this. And God's like, who made your tongue, Moses? Stop dwelling on what you can do. Stop living in your headspace and telling me what you can and you can't do. I'm telling you what you can do, and you're telling me that you can't do it. Now, who should we believe? The voice in our head or the voice of the Lord? All right, great job, church. We should believe the voice of the Lord. Sometimes we let the voices in our head take over and we begin to believe those voices that are not trying to draw us closer to the Lord, but to pull us away from the Lord. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me. He's referring to God's word. He's referring. He says, hey, God, you're saying this unto me. And I want you to notice how personal this intimacy and relationship between him and the Lord is. It says, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know who wilt thou send with me, or how are we going to accomplish this? And he says, yet thou hast said. He refers to God's word yet again. And I love what he references. He says, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in thy sight. You ever wonder if God truly knows your name, or if you're just a number? You ever wondered, you know, if God truly loves you and feels your pain and knows your suffering, that He truly knows what you're walking through, what you're going through? Can I say to you today, in spite of what the voices in your head say, He has, He does. I know thee by name. Beautiful. beautiful. Not one of us in this room are absent from the presence of God as though we have his full attention. That's a beautiful thing. Moses realized how little he was and how big God was, but yet he also realized how big a love God had for him. That he would use him, that he would call him, that he would know his name. Moses was not perfect. Moses was flesh and blood. You keep reading about Moses' life, and eventually Moses did indeed sin, which caused him his life. Here, I know thee by name. Moses had to continually remind himself of God's word. Coming down off the mountain of revival, we can sometimes assume God is there on the mountain. Right? Like God's only showing up at the revival meetings in June. And unless if it's there, man, his presence isn't there. But that's not true. God's everywhere. His presence is with us. He knows us by name. He is going before us. Moses clung to God's word, not the voices in his head or his feelings in difficult seasons. Well, I don't feel like God's presence is working. I don't feel God's presence like I did on that mountaintop. But was God any less present? Absolutely not. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Whether you feel like God's presence is near or not does not change the truth and the reality that he is present right here, right now in our midst. Well, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, regardless whether we can see it, regardless whether we can feel it. We know God's word is true. It's a beautiful thing. Moses clung to it. I know thee by name. Moses clung to it. I have found grace in thy sight. Moses clung to it. God's eyes are upon me. Sometimes our greatest enemy we listen to is the voices in our head that say, God doesn't love us or does not care about us. But they are lies. And if you feel that way, you must look to his word for truth in those moments. And you must do what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, pulling down every false imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity, binding that thought up as though it's the piece of garbage that it is, telling you God doesn't love you, telling you that God's not with you, and literally captivating that thing and crunching that thing and literally basically throwing it out or surrendering it at the feet of Jesus, confessing that that thought before the Lord. Lord, that's what we need to do. Verse 33, chapter 33, verse 14, and he said, my presence shall, matter of fact, not maybe so, hope so, my presence shall go with you, the Lord says. So we see, stay strong when others walk away from God, be dependent upon God, not independent from God, believe God's word, not the voices in your head. Number four, continue to seek God's way over your will. We as a church, we were earnestly, man. We were here. We were praying. We're fasting. We're seeking the Lord. We're praying. We're doing all these things. We're reading. We're feasting on the Word of God. We still need to do the same thing. We still need to seek God's way for us. As Ezra sought the Lord's way in the wilderness, there's 50,000 people proclaimed that fast for 3 days in the wilderness to seek the good hand of the Lord, to seek the way of the Lord. We still need to do that. Moses understood that. Just because the revival meeting's over does not mean that we should seek the Lord's will or ways any less than before. The revival may be over, but the work is yet to be done. Verse chapter 33, verse 12, it says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Can I ask you a question? When is the last time that you truly got on your knees and said, God, please show me your way? Oh, how distorted, and I want you to think about this. Oh, how distorted we can be in turning our will into God's will and then asking God to bless it. We figure out what we want to do, and we determine, hey, God, this is what's best for me. And we come to the Lord and say, God, open one of these two doors. He's like, well, what if I don't want you to walk through either one of them? Do you care? Do you truly care about God's way? When is the last time that you wholeheartedly went before the Lord and said, Lord, I have my plans, but I want to know your ways? Moses did that. He said, show me your ways. And I love that Moses said this to God in private. It's real easy for us to say that in the openness of the church. Oh, sure, I want to know God's will. Man, I want to follow God's will. Well, when it's just you and God and Him looking at your heart and the words out of your mouth, when's the last time you spoke those words? When's the last time? Have you ever spoken those words? And if not, hey, today is a great day to say, God, show me, make clear your way. And don't put God in the box of A or B. You go before God, and I always tell people, yes, make your plans, because if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. But make your plans, devise your way, but have your palms open when the Lord says, hey, that's a great plan, but that's not my plan. Because then when God changes our plan, we won't be frustrated because I need the white picket fence and two children and one perfect husband that doesn't exist, ladies. And then when that doesn't happen, we get frustrated, we get angry, and we turn away from God. But when you hold your hands open and allow God to change your plans, not saying, this is my concrete path. You ever heard the phrase, it's hard to kick against the pricks or to paddle upstream? That's often when we're going against God's will and God's way for our life. If we want to keep that fire burning, we must seek His way and walk in it. He is the source of our light. I want you to think about this. He is the light of the world, right? We need to follow His way. How many of you in here would say, man, I want to keep my fire and that passion for the Lord just burning bright? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a few of us. I'm going to do that one more time because we are in church, right? If you want to stay passionately close to the Lord, would you raise your hand with me? All right. That's great. Here's the thing. People, it's 9 o'clock. I get it. People still sleeping. He is the source of our light and our fire to burn bright for Him. If you are going one way in your life and God is going the other way, what do you think is going to happen to that flame? It's going to dim. If you've ever gotten to that place where, man, my flame's dimming, you know, I'm not real passionate, I would ask you to check, hey, whose way are you walking in? Whose path are you following? Because if you want to stay passionate, it's walking with Him. What does thou require of me, oh man, right? That thou doest justly, that you love mercy, extend the mercy to others, that you want God to extend to you. Stop being so hard. Stop holding, taking everybody to task. You don't know what they did to me. Man, if God took you to task or me to task, and then He says what? Walk humbly with your God. Hey, you want to stay on fire for the Lord? You got to walk with Him. You got to walk with Him. And number 5, and we'll close with this, desire to know God the way that He knows you. This is a crazy concept, and it just kind of, as I was looking at Moses' desire and his relationship for the Lord, one of the things that I realized is Moses had a desire to know the Lord the way that the Lord knew him. Now, I want you to think about that concept for a minute. How much does God know about you and me? Everything. Can you and me ever know everything about God? No, but Moses sure wanted to. While we may never know the depths of God's love or the widths of God's love or the height of God's love, we are commanded in Scripture to continually search it out because it's endless, it's without depths, it's without boundaries. And I love that Moses, see, in verse 33:13, he says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Lord. Show me now thy way that I may know thee. He wasn't just happy with the status quo of going to church on Sunday and then going and being absent from the Lord. He wanted to know the Lord. Moses didn't just want to know about God. He wanted to know God. He wasn't just interested in facts, Bible knowledge or facts about God. He wanted to know the person of God. And in order for this to happen, he had to first listen to the Word of God. You know, the reality is if you say you want to know God more and you want to know Him in a deeper form or fashion, and all you're doing is saying that, but you're not picking up the Bible, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You will never know more about God until you pick up God's Word, and it starts with a knowledge base of who He is. Growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 33, 14, it says, and He said, my presence shall go with thee, right? He's listening to God's Word. He's trusting in God's Word, and I will give thee rest. I love that. It makes me automatically think of Matthew chapter 11, when He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He got to know God because he spent time listening to God. If you're in here and you say, I want to know God, but you don't pick up the Bible, and the only time that you're listening to God's Word is on Sunday morning, can I say you're not going to learn very much about Him? I can only fit so many words into a sermon on Sunday morning before you guys start falling asleep on me. And it's about that time. The first way we come to know God in a greater way is by listening to His Word. It gives us confidence to draw near to His presence, but then also to dwell in His presence. To dwell in His presence. How do we know God? How can we know God or seek to know Him the way that He knows us? Listen to His Word, dwell in His presence. Verse 33, or chapter 33, verse 15 says, and He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I love that Moses' heart was, God, I'm not going to move one step if you're not moving with me. And that's a bold statement, because you know what Moses was declaring? That I only want to be where God is at. Is that your desire? Is that your desire? Are you willing to stay where God's presence is at if He doesn't move, even though you have other plans and you want to go someplace? Moses didn't want to go anywhere that God's presence wasn't with him. And I pray and hope that that's our desire at Brimley Baptist Church. And I think as we look at this church, we can identify that God's presence is right here. It's clear. It's clear. We don't need a building for God's presence. That's just a benefit for us to be able to expand, to grow, to see God continue to work. But then if you want to know God in a greater way, the way that He knows you, I think lastly is seek to discover more about God. You ever thought about this? Moses had already spent 40 days on the mountaintop with the Lord. It's after that that he says, God, I want more of you. I want to see more of you. I want you to think about that. Moses was closer to the Lord than anybody else had been at that time. He had discovered and learned more about God than anyone else at that time. And Moses also discovered that he has not discovered even the smallest portion of who God was. He was not content. What could he want more? There is always more to know and discover about God, our Heavenly Father, our Savior, than what we currently know today. You could say, I hear people say all the time, I've read the Bible once. Listen, if you think that you can sum up and understand everything, please, it's a misconception. Take time to walk through the pages of God's Word, because it is where we truly will discover who He is. And then dwelling in His presence is where, man, He'll begin to take shape, and continuing to earnestly seek and discover new things about the Lord in private, right? In the private, personal time with the Lord. I love what chapter 33, verse 18 says. It says, and he said, Moses said, I beseech thee, Lord, show me your glory. Moses, didn't you just see that? He's like, yeah, but I'm not content. If there's one area of life where we should never be content, it's our relationship with the Lord. We should be wholehearted, hard at it. Yeah, we should be content with what we've been given, But when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, I love what Moses, man, and his fervor and his desire was like, hey, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. He's talking about referencing John. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. I love this. There's a place. If you want to see me, do you have a time and a place for your relationship with the Lord? He says, hey, there's a place. If you want to see me, it'll be at this place. And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. God will put him there. God will cover him. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, and my face shalt thou not see. You know what? Moses got to see a side of God that nobody else got to see because he wanted more of God. Do you want more of God? Do you? And I get it, right? You know, like, yes, but I didn't realize I did. And I'm with you, right? But understand, we can see more of him. It's the question is, do you want to? Or are you just content with your relationship where you're at right now with the Lord? Moses wanted more, do you? Moses wanted to know more about God. He wanted to discover and learn things personally about the Lord that he had never learned and seen before. And the truth be told, as we draw closer to the Lord, we will absolutely start to look like him. I love the phrase, we are as close to the Lord as we want to be. God didn't say, Moses, nope, you can't get any closer. I'm drawing this barrier right here. This is it. You notice there's no barriers, restrictions? You know, in Hebrews it says, come boldly. It doesn't say, hey, come boldly to the threshold, stop there. No, no, we go past there. We can enter boldly into his presence. We can know as much about God as we want to. We can be as close to God as we desire, coming into his presence humbly before his throne. And Moses here, he rose up early, and I love this. Moses rose up early in 34:4-9. Says, Moses rose up early in the morning, went up to Mount Sinai, and the Lord, as the Lord had commanded him, and took his hand in his hands, the two tables of stone, and the Lord descended in the cloud, and I love this, and stood with him there. And stood with him there and proclaimed. I love the Lord's like, if you don't proclaim my name, I'm just going to proclaim it myself. Because that's how awesome God is. He says, and proclaim my name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, proclaimed the Lord, Lord God, a merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and in truth, keeping all that by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head before the earth and worshiped the Lord. Granted Moses his desire. Oh, you want to see my Moses? Moses, you want to see my glory? All right, I'm going to let you see my glory. And you know it had a visible impact in Moses' life? In closing, Moses wanted more of God, and God gave it to him. The more you seek God, the more you will begin to reflect God in yourself. You know, Moses came down off of that mountain the second time, and something was different this time. He wasn't less closer to the Lord. In fact, he was even more closer than at the first, when in Exodus 34:29 it says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimonies in his hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shined. Shone. He came down off that mountain and it looked like he had a light bulb for a head. Because they were like, something is different about you. Let me tell you something, church. While our face might not shine like a light bulb, people can absolutely see the presence of God on your face when you spend time with them. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. John talks about it. John chapter 3. That the more time we spend with him, the more we'll begin to bear his image. Moses kept the fire burning bright. And all I say is this, let's keep the fire burning bright. Hey, listen, stay strong when others walk away from God. Be dependent upon God, not independent from God. Believe God's word, not the voice in your head. Continue to seek God's way over your will and desire to know God the way he knows you. And I promise you, it'll be every day. It's revival. It's revival. Heads bowed, eyes closed. My wife's going to come to the piano. I'm not going to take a long invitation today at all. We went over a good bit, but my question to you is today is, I believe that as a church, we are closer to the Lord than we ever have been. I know it. We can see it. But let's not become complacent. The revival meeting's over, but we need God just as much. See, Moses had work to do. God told him, hey, I need you to go down and teach people what I'm teaching you. He had a job to do, and he had to face the harsh reality of people are going to turn away from the Lord. People are not going to treat you like the Lord. They're going to be mean. They might be harsh. They might just turn away and walk away from the Lord, but you can't let that stop you. You know, we all came and fasted and prayed and we're dependent upon the Lord. Are you still dependent the following Sunday? Are you believing the voices in your head? Are you believing the voice of his word? Do you just want to go throw in the towel because you sometimes feel like God doesn't love you? Hey, I understand. I've been there. But God would say, hey, don't listen to that voice. Listen to my word. I love you. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. I want to forgive your sins. I want to cleanse you. I want to draw you near. I want to make you part of the family of God. Don't let your shame and your guilt hold on to you. That's been washed under the blood. Hey, let it go. The past is the past. Forgetting those things which are behind, but pressing towards the mark of the high calling. I don't know how God spoke to you, but as a church, listen, we have a world that needs to see Jesus, his image shining on your face. But better yet, and I'm going to make it real personal, you need kids and a wife and a husband and mom and dad that need to see Jesus' love on your face. I don't know how God spoke to you today, but I'll say this. Pray it in. Pray it in. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord God, and I thank you just for the example of Moses, Lord, being a man, being flesh and blood, as we are. Lord God, and just allowing us to see the desire and the drawing that you had for him, the love that you knew him by name. You know us by name. You formed each one of us in our mother's womb. You knew us. You knew everything about us. And your grace, we found grace in your sight. Your sight is upon us. Lord God, and we praise you and we thank you because we sure don't deserve it. Lord God, but we believe it. We revel in it. And we love you for it. Lord Jesus, bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.